All right, what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving today. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke. And we're going to talk about the issue of Thanksgiving. Now, here is something that I have discovered through life. And usually it's been just looking at myself. Every one of us as a Christian know that we need to be a thankful people. That is, we need to give thanks to God for the things that He does in our lives, for the way that He provides for us, for the issues that He brings us through and everything. We all know that, okay? It should come intuitive to you that we need to give thanks ultimately to God, right? Now, here's the reality that I found, and I can say this from my own life. I find that it isn't that easy. You would think that gratitude just flows out of me. Well, it does in some ways, okay? But I actually find it easier to go to Him and ask for Him to help with stuff and just assume that He's going to help me and give me grace, but then what should be my response isn't there sometimes. I actually feel guilty sometimes. Do you know what I mean? To the reality that I just take it for granted. It's not even a lack of gratitude. Well, maybe that is a lack of gratitude. That we just take Him working in our lives for granted, right? So we're not thankful people. So I was thinking about that this week, and I want to go back to a passage. Through the years, I've preached this passage many times. And I want to go to an incident that happened in the life of Jesus where He really addresses this issue. He actually reveals His heart here. Because we might say, well, we need to be thankful and we need to give Him thanks. But as we say that, we don't really know what God thinks about that. Do you know what I mean? Are you supposed to be a thankful person? Yes, everybody would agree with that, right? But if I were to say to you, how does God feel about your thankfulness or lack of gratitude? How does He feel about that? Most of us don't have any clue. Most of us we never go that far. We need to be thankful. Thank you, God. But we don't really think beyond that. And this passage actually reveals God's heart. And I thought it would be good for us to go through it once again and just kind of consider some things. So I want you to look with me. We're going to look at Luke chapter 17. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 19, and we're going to talk about Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers, okay? Cleansing the 10 lepers. So let's begin, first of all, in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And He said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. All right, now here's what we're going to do, folks. I'm going to divide these verses into four sections. And we're going to kind of examine what's going on. We're going to relate to what's going on. And then we're going to see how Jesus responds. And then we're going to see the choice. It's a choice that they face. It's a choice that you and I face every day. Because gratitude, can I be honest with you? When you talk about Thanksgiving, we're not talking about what you share around the table right before you eat turkey. Some families do that, you know. Go around and share what you're thankful for this year. And that's the only time during the whole year we do it, right? Maybe your family doesn't even do anything. I know when I was growing up in a military home, we always had soldiers in our house. Dad would always have his buddies over. We never even had a time limit. We just ate, you know what I'm saying? Just thankful for the food. And the reality is that you and I have a choice to make every day about whether to give thanks or not. And we're going to see that in this passage, okay? How God feels about that. So why don't we start, first of all, with the problem. I want you to look at verses 11 through 12. Here's the setting and here's the situation. So on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So if you kind of think in your mind about Israel, up top is Galilee, where he's originally from. Then in between is Samaria, which are basically viewed as foreigners by the Jews at that time. They were ostracized. They were rejected. And then you've got Judea, where Jerusalem is. He's on his way. And in between, on his way, he's in between Galilee and Samaria. He comes across 10 lepers. Now, let me explain to you leprosy. Leprosy is probably beyond our comprehension here. Although, have you ever noticed when somebody has some kind of skin problem, maybe it shows up on their arms, what's your tendency? Stay away from them, right? You want to stay. Any kind of skin thing coming happening, you don't want to go near it. Well, in Israel at that time, it's a tropical climate. Leprosy was any kind of skin disease. Now, mostly we think of leprosy today as Hansen's disease. We see leper colonies around the world, especially like in India, where people wear off, their skin is deadened to pain, and so they wear off parts of their body. That could be leprosy in that sense, but it could be any kind of skin ailment. The problem was, is if you got declared to be a leper, that had all kind of connotations with it, and it wasn't good. So I'm going to make 2 points here. First of all, Jesus encounters a group of individuals enduring profound suffering. So when you talk about lepers, they are enduring profound suffering. They're going through whatever it is that is so terrible, beyond comprehension. So maybe it's because it's the skin disease they're going through. And with that, because of the law of Moses, nobody could have any contact with them. For a leper, if they were to enter into your community, they were to announce their coming by telling everyone they're unclean. So think about that. If I had some kind of skin disease and I'm considered a leper and I walked in here, I would walk through the door and I would immediately shout, "Unclean! I'm unclean!" Now, all of you would head out that door immediately. That was the culture at the time. Stay away from me. I don't want to get whatever you have. I don't want that. And so, basically, think about it. What kind of life would you be living then? Basically shut off from everyone else. In fact, this is the second point I want you to see. Their suffering was amplified by the social isolation they faced. They were basically shunned. They had to stay outside of the community. This is something profound that's going on. And so here we have Jesus, he's traveling along. There's these 10 guys. They each have lepers. Now you say they're with each other. Well, yeah, they all are lepers. They all have something going on. They can hang out with each other. They can't just be a part of normal life anymore, though. And they're enduring this suffering, and they see Jesus. Well, that brings me to my second part I want you to see. I want you to see the plea. I want you to see what they say. Now, they say a couple of interesting things. So look with me at verse 13. Here's what it says. Who stood at a distance, verse 12, and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's all they say. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Two things I want you to see here. First of all, they recognized who Jesus was and what he could do. They probably had heard about Jesus. By this point, everybody in that area had heard about Jesus, this miracle worker, this one who can do anything, who raises the dead, casts out demons, cleanses lepers. And so here he is. They see him, and what do they do? They don't just cry, Jesus. They cry, what? Master. That's a recognition of who he is, okay? So they recognize who he is, and they also know what he can do. So why do you think they're yelling? Makes sense that they would, right? I mean, look, if you're at the situation where you're enduring immense suffering, you're totally isolated from everyone, and you see some guy walking by in the distance, because you've got to keep the distance, see somebody walking by, and you know it's Jesus, and you know the reputation that he has, and you know what he can do, you know the healings he can bring, you know you've heard of the people who've been raised from the dead, you know all of these things. Are you just going to sit there and be quiet? No. You're going to yell out. In fact, isn't that true? When you think about blind Bartimaeus in Jericho when Jesus is going through, he didn't stay. He kept chasing after Jesus because he wanted Jesus to what? Heal his blindness. So they recognize who he is and what he wants. So here's what I want you to see. They asked him for mercy in the midst of their suffering. I think that's interesting. They didn't just say, hey, Jesus, can you clean me? Hey, Jesus, can you deal with my skin issue? They asked for what? Mercy. All right, let's stop for a moment. All of us, at some point, at various degrees, we go through stuff. Sometimes it's a health issue. Sometimes it's a finance issue. That seems to be happening a lot these days. Sometimes it's relationship issues. And we just quietly sometimes not, but mostly quietly suffer. We're desperate. Our whatever the issue is, we feel like we're the only ones in the world that are going through it. We feel totally isolated because nobody understands. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're going through something, you're feeling a certain way, and you try, even if you try to talk to your spouse about it or your good friend or whatever, and they'll say, oh, yes, I understand. But you just have this feeling like, no, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know what's weighing on me. Yes, you're trying to understand, but you don't. And you just feel so alone, right? You just feel so alone in your pain and in your hurt. But then here's what happens. You realize there's Jesus. There's God. And you understand that he can help you. Maybe even the Spirit is whispering to you, come to me, I'll help you. And so you go to him, and rather than sometimes, I mean, you get to the point where it's not like you've got, I know sometimes I'm like, God, here's my 10 steps that you got to do to work this out. Yeah, I've learned to forget that and just go to him and say, mercy? I just need relief. I just need a moment. I just need to breathe, Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? We can understand these 10. I can understand to a point, but I can't totally understand because I'm not facing what these guys were facing. Some kind of physical something going on in your life which was resulting in being totally shunned by the community around you. Talk about isolation and suffering. And they just look to him and they say, mercy? Now, we can relate to that, so I want to, just for a moment, have you look at what Jesus does, okay? It's the issue of faith. Look with me at verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. To be very honest with you, that really isn't that impressive, is it, when you read it? We're just kind of like, you know, Jesus did a whole, like, made mud in somebody's eye and they could see, and, you know, woman touches his hem and she's cleansed of her bleeding, and you're like, there's these 10 people, and Jesus is like from a distance, go show yourself to a priest. And as they go, they're cleansed. That we kind of expected something more spectacular from Jesus, right? Well, this is what I want you to understand. There's an issue of faith here. Because he does clean them, but it's also got to be an act of their faith. So a couple things I want you to see here. First of all, here's the thing. He calls them to follow the law and show themselves to the priests. Now, what you don't know is, unless you've been reading through Leviticus lately, that in chapter 14 of Leviticus, if somebody had leprosy and they were, quote, healed or cured of their leprosy, it had to be declared to the community that they were cleansed of their leprosy. So the law of Moses made it very clear that if you were cleansed or whatever, you were to then go to the temple or to the tabernacle. At that time when Moses wrote it, it was a tabernacle, but in Jesus' day, it would be the temple. And you would go to and show yourself to the high priest. And what they would do is they would inspect you. They would look and see if you were literally healed of your leprosy. And then at that point, they would declare you to be cleansed of your leprosy publicly, and you would then make a sacrifice. There would be a certain sacrifice that would be made to God for your cleansing. So that's what he's telling them. He's telling the 10. He's kind of telling them, think about it, they got it. They don't know. They're asking for healing, and he says, go show yourselves to the priest. That's an act of faith, because if they were them, and they did, the 10 of them, what do? They go to show themselves to the priest. They're believing what? They're going to be cleansed. And on the way, guess what? They're cleansed. So here's the next thing I want you to see, okay? Their actions demonstrated their faith, which ultimately led to their healing. Jesus healed them, but they had to do what he asked them to do, right? And when they did it, he healed them. It's a demonstration of their faith. We just kind of talked about this in the book of James, didn't we? Show me your faith and I'll show you my what? Works, he said. My demonstration of faith and how I live my life. So he heals them. And this is where we're like, yay, yay, Jesus. Do this in my life. But the text doesn't end there. The text actually goes a little bit further. So I want you to notice with me. All right, look at verse 15 through 19. Let me read it to you again. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is what I want to focus on, folks, is these 4 or 5 verses here. I want to focus on the reality of the response, how we respond when he does something. So we're going to look at how people responded when this ultimate act of healing them of their profound suffering happens, and how the 10 responded, and what we can learn from it. Okay, so I've got 2 things I want to point out here. First of all, one chooses to stop and give God the glory for his healing. So of the 10 guys who are going to go show themselves, on their way they're healed, one of them realizes, "I'm new, I'm healed." Think about that. That's got to, if you've got some kind of skin thing going on, and then all of a sudden you look and it's like, whoa, I'm different. I no longer have this problem. And what does he do? He chooses to acknowledge the one who healed him. He chooses to stop and give God the glory. We need to do that. Because the problem is this. Look at the second part. Jesus is troubled by the fact that most people fail to recognize God's work in their lives. It bothers him. Look at how he asked the question. Weren't there 9 other guys? And all of you were healed? You're the only one. In fact, you're not even a Jew. You're a Samaritan, a foreigner. Where were the other guys? Why aren't they here? They're the ones who should be giving glory to God, right? But they're not. It's this foreigner. It bothers him. Why does it bother him? Let me stop for a moment. I think we can relate, right? If you're like me, I have a tendency, some people would say my love language is giving, okay? I have a tendency with people that I love to do things for them and give things, okay? And I'm always ready to do that, okay? That's how I express my love towards people. And oftentimes through life, I have been disappointed when there's no gratitude shown for the efforts that I've done. You know what I'm talking about. You go through the same thing too, right? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not telling anyone here something that they don't realize. You do something for someone, you do it because you love them, you want to do it, and then they don't even acknowledge it or care or whatever, and they maybe even trivialize it, and you're like, don't you realize what it took for me to do that? I stayed up all night slaving, sweating, doing this for you, and you're like acting like this is normal. And you just feel down and defeated. God feels that way about stuff. Do you understand? God does things for you and I because we are what? His children. He loves us. He cares for us. And we go to him all the time, don't we? We even nonchalantly, God, I need you to help me with this. He does it. But then we don't acknowledge it. Sometimes we don't even remember. And then we wonder, does God do anything for me? Has he really shown himself mighty in my life? Well, we're not acknowledging it when he does. You're just forgetting it. And let me just say to you, that bothers him. And we understand that because that would bother ourselves if we were in that situation, right? So you say, okay, George, where are we going with this? What are we doing with this? What's your point here? Well, folks, here it is. Thanksgiving isn't just one day out of the year. Thanksgiving is every day. You have a God who so loves you that he gave his only begotten son to die for you. And then he didn't just die for you and give you forgiveness of sins. He didn't just die and give you eternal life. He gave you a relationship where he interacts with you and I on a daily basis. Sometimes when we're not even aware of it, he's there watching over us, protecting us, providing for us. He responds to you. Even if you don't acknowledge, he's there for you because he loves you. And what his heart wants is what one Samaritan leper did. He wants gratitude. He wants you to appreciate him. How are we doing with that? If I have to admit it for myself, I guess I'm not doing too well. So maybe the thought would be for you and I, God, help me. Help me to cultivate a heart of gratitude for the things that you do for me. You say, how do I do that, George? Well, hey, you know, we do prayer focus cards here. The prayer focus card this week is for Thanksgiving. And on the card is a list of things that you can be thankful for. Very general things, but a great place to start. And let me encourage you, start. And when you begin to show gratitude and appreciation, then you will become more and more aware of what God does for you. And then you'll say, wow, my God is with me. Let me pray for you.